beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 5. While you're going there, you have said at some time or another, I want you to know that offended me. You remember? Well, I'll tell you what gets under my skin. You remember? There's some things that I just don't like. And sometimes about obnoxious people. Tell you what, there's some people I just don't like. Now that we'll smooth that up real nice. Plaster it over, make it look pretty doggone good by saying, you know, their actions just bother me. Their character is not the kind of character I want to be around. Beginning with verse 1 now. It's impossible. But the defenses will come. Offenses will come. But woe to them through whom they come. For it would be better that a rock, a millstone, be tied about their neck and thrown into the sea and drown than to offend the least of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he comes and asks you to forgive him, forgive him. And then if he sins seven times, which is a ongoing perfect number, that means he just keeps on doing the same dumb thing and keeps coming back to you and said, hey, I want you to forgive me. I've done it again. Forgive him. Now that goes 5 points past Jesus saying, the dude slaps you on one side of your head, turn the other. And let him slap you again. Forgive him. And then that last verse. And the apostles, those men who had followed Jesus, those men who had been taught by Jesus, those men who were enthralled by the wisdom, the great wisdom of Jesus and the lifestyle that he lived, because everything that Jesus taught, he backed up. They said what you and I need to say. Lord, if you really expect us to do that, if you expect us to live like that, well, you'll have to increase our faith. Is that what we need? Is that where we need to go? Father, may your word be clear. May it be resounding that we might hear you speak today to our very private and our very individual lives. Oh God, but may the Holy Spirit so work. It would be better that he not work, that he so work in our lives that we would not but do anything except follow him. Oh, Father, may we today so sense the presence of the working of the Holy Spirit that he would not speak to one heart or any heart here without our obedience to you, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The requirement of offenses. Hey, they're going to come. Did you get that? You can't get around it. It's going to happen. They're going to come. They're required. But do you know that the Word of God says that the preaching of Jesus Christ is an offense? It's an offense to those that perish. But oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is the power of God to every one of us who believe. Amen? Come on, church. By the way, that word is It's a Greek word. It's skandalion. And it has the connotation with it of a trap, but not a mouse trap or a rat trap or a bear trap, but a snare. And it's not even the snare, folks. It's the place where the bait is placed for the snare. So when you take the bait, and by the way, I'd advocate to you real quickly, you find out who put the bait there. Are you with me? Because Satan knows how. Well, let me say it. The demons of hell know how to bait your trap. And it is not the kind of trap or entrapment that kills you. Now, there is a Hebrew word in the Old Testament, the peganos, which is broke your neck and you're gone. It's a real booger of a trap. It's the pit with the stakes sticking up, and you fall through and fall on those stakes. But this is, no, this is just that snare. As a kid, I set these for poor Mr. Bunny Foo-Foo hopping through the forest, picking up the, you know him? I used to trap rabbits that way. Set the trap, put the bait where the rabbit would go into the snare, and we had a couple of things. We had a rabbit gun. It didn't go boom. It went slip. He walked into that little box and a door fell down, and he was just as alive as he ever was, but totally helpless. Or sometimes he'd go in through the snare, the loop, and it would catch him around his leg or his body and just hang him there in the air. Useless. Are you hearing me? When Satan baits your snare and it snaps you up, and you know what does that? Offenses. Now you're dangling there, and you're totally helpless, and you're useless. Now then, there's one other point there. One other point there. Not only are we helpless, not only are we useless when we get into Satan's, to the enemy's trap and his snare, but we are a mockery. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. There's nothing in this world that the world wants to see any more than a Christian faltering and failing and struggling and bouncing around in the air and can't do a blooming thing. Oh, they can. But there's nothing any more than they want to see that a church struggle. You know how that picture goes, don't you? All the inner city churches start moving out to the suburbs and going out where the high rent area is, and they'll build fancy buildings and they'll put on great programs and they'll have this for the youth and this for the children. And I'm not fighting those things. Listen, I once had four boys and raised those four boys in church plants. Sermon's over. We had youth groups come from down south to Michigan, and they had the handbells and they had the youth choirs, and they put on the productions and the presentations, and our boys would say, "Oh, Dad, why don't we have that?" You know, so they move on out and they leave these people here. You and I and us. Leave us here to make it on our own any way we can. And God says, I believe this. Now listen, I believe this. That's why I was sitting here in this chair this morning. I believe this all in my heart. God said, there is some people that I can bring together, and they will minister right down there. Now let me conclude this part by saying this to you, folks. I believe this. If Jesus Christ decides to move Monday morning to Huntington, he'd come to a church like this. I'm going to confess to you, I haven't been to all of them down here. So yeah, there may be another one getting the job done better than we are. I don't know. But I don't think he'd go out there where it's highbrow and everything's... I really don't believe that. Now, there is a requirement of offenses here. They're going to happen. You just wells to get ready and ask me this question. Preacher, what do I do when I get offended? Thank you for asking. And if he comes and says, I repent, forgive me. There's the release of repentance. You see, there's a requirement of the offense. It's going to happen. But there's also the release of repentance. You find yourself in a trap. You find yourself hanging by the stair. You find yourself useless and helpless. Repent. I really think God sometimes eases out on the edge of his throne to hear someone down on earth cry out, God, Father, I repent. Forgive me. And you know, I believe this, that word has never come from a true, sincere heart to what God instantly did not forgive. So, you get out of the trap by repenting. I made some points there too. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 7, talks about a godly repentance. And it has this connotation, this thought with it. It is those fish being taken out of the gill nets that the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee used. And they would drag the nets and they'd take out the fish and set them free or use them. And by the way, in Acts 17:30, it's also a required repentance. You understand? You understand? There's no other way. Now hear me, folks. Listen to me. There's no other way. There ought to be a big amen. You see, you could be ever so good. You could be your best little old shiny Boy Scout or Girl Scout you could imagine. You can do the Eagle Award. You can be ever so good, but that's not good enough. I mean, you can go to church on Sunday and church on Monday and church on Wednesday. Listen, I'm advocating something you ought to be doing. All of us ought to be doing. We ought to be. But listen to me. That won't get it. Jesus said it. Said it best. So I'll quote him. Okay? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father in heaven but by me. You're not going to get there any other way. It is required. And by the way, I'm saying this wrong, and I know that. I just couldn't figure out any other way to say it. You got it? I'll say it, then I'll explain it, maybe. Maybe. But it is a condemning repentance. In that, without it, you are condemned. Now, listen to me carefully. You are not going to be condemned. The judgment won't condemn you. You're condemned, the Word of God says. Already, it is a condemning repentance. Oh, how much hangs, you see. We honestly and readily confess that we're sinners, amen? I don't know whether you want to say amen to that or not, but, you know, and that might be an offense to you, but anyway, if it is, let it be. Let me tell you, you are a sinner. And the only hope, the only given is repentance. So, there is a requirement of offenses. There is the release of repentance. But I wanted to spend a few minutes on the next point. There is the righteousness of forgiving. Forgiving. I mean, you know, Jesus says, look, fellas, don't ever quit forgiving. Just keep on forgiving. You know, no matter, kind of look for an opportunity to forgive somebody. What? Listen, I want you to hear me now, you'll never be any more like the Father in heaven than when you're forgiving. Got it. Now, if you don't believe me, let's just use your life for a minute, may we? Thank you. How many times this past week, in the past 7 days, did you have to say to the Father, forgive me? Well, I saw that. Not any. What were you doing laying in bed all week? You ought to repent of that. You see, we just bombard the Father. I don't know about you, but I do. I just bombard the Father. Jeez, driving down 24, up whatever way that is to Fort Wayne on 24. Some silly dude comes along and right in front of me. Oh, Lord, you got to forgive me for what I just thought. You don't have that problem. I'm glad you don't. You know. Your wife says, I want to use the truck. I'm going to help somebody out. And she comes back with 4 sacks fulls. Lord, forgive me. You say, listen to me. When we are really on track, I'm serious as I can be. I'm trying to keep it a little bit on the humorous side because it is serious. When we're really, really on track with the Holy Spirit of the living God, who Jesus has promised, I'll send John 16, I'll send another one. I'm not leaving you alone. I'll send another one, one just like me. And when he's come, he will reprove the world. What? Sin. By the way, and I studied a long time before I got this figured out. He will reprove the world of righteousness. And he will reprove the world of judgment. Listen, folks, what he just said was, he's going to lead you and direct you and guide you so that the things I have done you can do, and greater things than I did you can do. And I believe much of that applies to the church, the body of Christ. But now, can you trust Jesus to be telling you the truth? If you can, he said, those things that I did, you could remunerate them just as well as I. You know, heal the sick, cure the blind, feed the poor, right on down the line. Those things you can do when the Holy Spirit's guiding you. And greater, I love this, but then I get all blocked up in my mind. Greater than these you can do. Because I'm with the Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit of the living God is down here on earth empowering you.
Amen. That's right.
Wow. You know, it ought just to be a challenge. Really, I'm serious. Well, I mean, the tougher, the bigger, the more challenging, the better. Because we've got the only hope, the power of Almighty God, which is adequate and sufficient, and all that we need to know and all that we need to be is just following him and knowing he's leading. And we have nothing else to do. So, it is required. Offenses will come. That's just so you know God's with you and you can know God's able and God will do. But then once that happens, whether it's every day, listen to me now, or seven times a day, habitually repetitious, it's okay. All you got to do is repent. And then I'm going to, oh, I love those songs we sang today, Ashley. I am. I'm determined. Oh, I hope you are. So let me wrap it up and let me say to you, you're here this morning, first of all, and oh boy, this ought not to need anything but just a brush. You have never, you cannot put your finger on it, that place where you said, Lord Jesus, I want to ask you, I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm repenting. Let me give that to you now, which I skipped on purpose. Repenting is this. You're going this way, and you turn. Now you're going that way. By the way, that's to hell. We did that 2 weeks ago, remember? That's to heaven. We did that 3 weeks ago, you remember? You just say, Lord, I'm turning. They say, well, preacher, I'll mess it up. Probably. But you see, when you do, Father, forgive me. And guess what? He's just sitting there anxious. Probably before you ever get it done, he knows it. You've never had that experience. You're like, I want to testify to you from my own life experience. Nothing like it. That moment when I realized that I had changed directions in my life and I no longer was walking the way of a sinner, that's walking on my way to heaven. Having to say, ever turned in the road, ever bend I came to, God forgive me, I messed it up again. But he always did. I invite you and plead will you come and do that today. I haven't said this that I recall. And I would not say it now except I feel like God wants me to. And I would be having to repent on my way home, wouldn't I? If I didn't do what I feel like God wants me to do. Indeed, especially if he wants me to do that. You today may be touched by the Holy Spirit of the living God, and he is saying to you, what I'd like for you to do is now I'd like for you to go and unite with New Life Fellowship Church to do the ministry that I have appointed for them to do in this place. I believe it's a God-appointed ministry. And you'll see on the back of the bulletin that we do that by accepting a letter of a church of like faith and order, or accepting a statement that you've been baptized by immersion of a church that believes the Word of God. But God says to you, you need to go and become a part of this church. And you may be here today and God has, we've been talking about the extension of ministry here. And God has said, yeah, I've got something for you. Oh, let me tell you, it's good. It may seem impossible, it may seem brick wall, but it's good. And God says, I got something for you. Place of special ministry, place of special service. Place where you can use those talents and gifts and that I have put in you. And they're put there just for the glory of Jesus. It's not for you. It's for Jesus. And I'll use mine right there. I want you to stand, please. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? With your heads bowed, if God's Word and the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart today, and you would desire that we would pray for you, would you just lift up your hand by so doing? Say, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Say, pray for me and you on the front here. And you. Pray for me. I will be submissive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Father, I do not know, there's no way I could, the implication of the hands raised. But you need not that anyone would testify of man, for you know what's in their hearts. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over their being absolute sway. Direct and call and plead. So that just as we are, that we will sing, I come, I come. In Jesus we pray.